Well, hey, everybody. My name is Greg Hampton. I am one of the pastors here. If we've never met, it's probably because baseball season and vacation. So I am back. I was in Colorado last week and on a trip with my boys, and the week before I was in Michigan serving at the camp that my oldest son is serving at. And I have a certain number of vacation Sundays I try to use and save for things like that. And so I've been, used those up. And so I'm really looking forward to the rest of the year with you guys. And we've been going through the gospel according to John throughout the summer, and we've heard from a lot of different voices. A lot of different preachers are able to join us, especially here from our congregation. I'm so grateful for all the different people that we have that preach, from Scott to Alex to Jen to Chris. Just thankful for all of their voices. If we've never met, I would love to have coffee with you. Put it on your connection card that you'd like to have coffee. I'll buy the coffee wherever you want. If you don't like coffee, I'll buy the soda. Or if you're cheap, we'll go water, whatever you want. I'll be happy to meet with you and get to know you. And especially if you want to talk about Jesus, I really like talking about Jesus. Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles. We're going to jump into the scriptures. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible on the table. You can grab one of those, or you can take one from the lobby and take that home with you. It's free. Or you can download a Bible from any of the digital app stores. We are going to be, of course, in John, and we're going to be John 16. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. If you see any of those, you know that you're in the right neighborhood. John 16, starting verse 1, and we have a tradition of standing as we read the scriptures. As you are able and give your scriptures your full attention, you can also do that as you sit, if that is what you prefer. John 16, verse 1 says this. I have said these things to you, this is Jesus speaking, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so they are offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I have told you about them. And as we pray here, I'm going to ask that you also pray for me and for this sermon. Father God, we thank you for your scripture. We thank you that they have persisted throughout the millennia, that we have them to read, to learn from, to consider. And God, I pray that whatever you have for us to learn today, that it would stick, that it would become a part of the framework of our faith, that our faith would become stronger as we become more like your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Thanks. Do y'all know what a lectionary is? Show of hands, familiar with what a lectionary is? Typically, a lectionary is a three-year path through the scriptures. Churches and denominations will edit together a lectionary and use that throughout the course of 3 years. A congregation will use this so that they get a broad experience across many parts of the Bible. Each Sunday in the course of the service, if you're using a lectionary, you would read from the Psalms, from the First Testament, from the book of Acts, from one of the epistles or letters that's in the New Testament. And then, of course, there would be a reading from one of the Gospels. But in some cases, a lectionary is also designed to avoid certain passages that for one reason or another might be problematic. In reference to today's passage, the interpreter's commentary says this. Fortunately, no Sunday lectionary features these early verses of chapter 16. They would almost certainly be heard in the modern period as Jewish violence directed at pious Christians. See, these verses, they don't find their way into the lectionary because the way that a lectionary is typically used in a lot of churches is that those verses just get read throughout the service. The sermon isn't always based off of the verses that you heard. Does that make sense? And so a lot of times a verse would get read from a lectionary or in a congregation setting with no explanation. And so what the interpreter's commentary is saying that it's generally beneficial for this not to be read as just a part of a lectionary, because no explanation would then come along with it. And if you're reading it at face value, then all you would think was about Jewish violence towards early pious Christians. The truth is that without a question, without a doubt, these verses and verses like them have been used to justify violence and prejudice towards the Jewish people. Through the years, people have read these words in John and basically said, well, what goes around comes around. They did it, so we can do it. Now, if you keep reading chapter 16, this is the same chapter where Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit will be our comforter, our counselor, will convict the world of sin, will remind us all the things that he had taught us. And that is what I originally wanted to focus on today. But some things have happened recently in our world related to violence. And so I think that we need to focus on this subject instead. Because we need to understand something. Our beliefs, and I hope everyone's listening, our beliefs can hurt people. We have to understand that deeply held beliefs will eventually drive our actions. We don't just think or speak, we end up doing and being. That is the very point of following Jesus. So that we will think and be and do as Jesus did. We learn about Jesus so that then we will be like Jesus. And so it is really, really important, and it really, really matters what we believe about God and about other people. Amen? I said amen? Yeah. In these verses, Jesus is talking specifically about how early on parts of Judaism would reject what was happening with this new way of believing. And that some of these new Christians, almost exclusively Jews, we have to remember this, that almost all the original Jews, all the original Christians were Jewish people. And so they would continue to go to their synagogues as part of their worship. And so Jesus is saying, some of you will be pushed out of the synagogue, and in some cases, some of you might lose your lives. And for a very short period in history, this did happen, but it was not on a large scale. The large-scale persecution of Christians didn't come from local Jewish leaders, y'all. It came from the Roman government. The horrific reality is that ever since then, segments of Christianity have justified violence in the name of our Christian beliefs, including violence against the Jewish people, specifically because of verses like this. The man that began what is called the Lutheran Church is the same man that began what was called the Reformation. Over 500 years ago in the 1500s, his name was, say it with me if anyone knows, Martin Luther. Yeah, the Lutheran Church is named for him. And he was right about a great deal of things. He had some great theology, but he was also a racist. He was staunchly anti-Semitic towards Jews. He literally wrote a book that is called The Jews and Their Lies. And I will not quote anything from the book that he wrote about this, because even as quotes, they do not belong in the pulpit. But I will quote what experts have to say about those beliefs. They say, Luther's rage and increasing religious and political power were accompanied by a program for protecting Christian society from Jewish influence and contamination by burning or razing synagogues, destroying Jewish homes, confiscating Jewish holy books, banning Jewish religious worship, expropriating Jewish money, and deporting Jews. In 1983, the Lutheran World Federation said, the sins of Luther's anti-Jewish remarks, the violence of his attacks on the Jews, must be acknowledged with deep distress. And in 1994, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America stated, in the spirit of truth-telling, we who bear his name and heritage must with pain acknowledge Luther's anti-Judaic diatribe and the violent recommendations of his later writings against the Jewish people. And they added, we particularly deplore the appropriation of Luther's words by modern anti-Semites for the teaching of hatred towards Judaism or toward the Jewish people in our day. It is undeniable that Luther's beliefs and what he taught about the Jewish people led to violence against the Jewish people. It's undeniable that Luther's beliefs were formed by how he read the Bible. Meaning, how he interpreted the Bible led to how other people acted. Does that make sense? What happens in a pulpit matters. What gets said in a pulpit matters. What and how we believe matters. Because what we believe can lead to hurting others. And then believing that it was our right to do so. Now, think back to the first song that we sang today. I know it was like 37 minutes ago. That song is called Praise. It's upbeat, it's catchy, it is relatively easy to sing. And as a worship leader, I'll tell you right now, one of the hardest kinds of songs to find for a congregation is a fast song that's easy for a congregation to sing. And so the first time I heard this song, I knew that I liked it and I knew that I wanted us to sing it. But if you hear this song on K-Love, or if you were to go online or to Apple Music or your preferred streaming music choice, you will be confused by the words you hear. Because before we sang that song for the first time, I changed half the lyrics. The original song says, I'll praise when outnumbered, I'll praise when surrounded, because praise is the water my enemies drown in. We sing, I'll praise when outnumbered, praise when surrounded, because praise is the answer when my enemies shouting. The original words say, my praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. We sing, my praise is a lesson. It's more than a sound. And to the next generation, my praise will resound. Why did I change the words? Because we do not need words of violence in our songs of worship. Is it true that the Bible says that the armies of Egypt drowned when they were chasing the Israelites? Yes. Does Jesus tell us to hope that our enemies drown? No. Does the Bible say the walls of Jericho fell and that everyone except Rahab's family died? Yes. Does Jesus teach us to hope the homes of our enemies are demolished and that only the people that help us survive? No. Jesus specifically tells me to love my enemies, to pray for those that persecute me. When the disciples wanted to call fire down from heaven onto people that disagreed with them, Jesus corrected them. When they wanted to be great rulers, Jesus said, do not lord your authority over others, but the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. When Peter drew his sword, in the moment that the authorities were arresting his Lord, his Savior, his Rabbi, and cut off the ear of someone nearby, Jesus picked up the ear, healed the man, looked at Peter and said, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. And then he allowed himself to be arrested and murdered by the powers of this world. The example of Jesus is nonviolence. This past year, we have sung the song Praise 8 times. And if we hadn't changed the words, that would have been 8 times that we taught you to put violence in your mouth, that we taught your children to put violence in their mouths. And not just words in their mouth, but as a form of worship. Do you understand why that is so important, that we not worship God with violence? It's deeply problematic when violence is not the way of Jesus, but we make it a way of worshiping Jesus. Martin Luther used his beliefs to advocate for violence. Martin Luther King Jr. used his beliefs to advocate for peace. He said, "Nonviolence is the answer to the crucial political and moral questions of our time. The need for man to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to oppression and violence." He said, "We must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. And the foundation of such a method is love." 8 days ago, someone fired a gun at the former president because of beliefs. And people were injured, someone died. And while I have nothing to say to you about who you should vote for specifically, as a Christian pastor, I have a very strong belief about who we are allowed to murder or who we should hope gets hurt. And the answer is no one. If we celebrate violence, we misunderstand the character and person of Jesus. Believing in Jesus, following Jesus, is meant to shape our actions into the likeness of Jesus. And that extends beyond the subject of violence to the problem of racism, to sexism, to ableism, to bigotry, to every form of discrimination. They have all been justified in the name of Jesus at one point or another, and it has all been wrong. So what do we do about it? We've always wanted, and you've heard me say it many times, that we want to foster a church community here that makes room for people that believe different things. The pastor and author Rich Velodas says about being a pastor, he says, "In my role as a pastor, I'm not trying to get everyone to agree on everything. As much as I'm attempting to create environments where our disagreements don't automatically become cause for disunity." This is a space that is not meant to get everyone to agree about everything. It is meant to be a space where disagreeing about something does not automatically become cause for disunity or even division. Very specifically, I want to say this. In the last few months, I have talked with multiple people that are gay or lesbian, and they have all asked me if this is actually a church where they could come to and be safe and be affirmed for who they are. And I've told them what I believe. I've told them that I am an affirming person, that I will accept you exactly as you are, and I believe that God will lead you in your life. But I also tell them what I also think is true. I told them we have never told everyone at this church that they have to believe the same thing. And while I believe and hope that it will be a safe place for you, if you ever feel that someone was not kind to you, please come to me, and I will be a part of healing that. Because we are a place where we do not need to agree or believe all of the same things, but Jesus. Robert Jones Jr., also known as the son of Baldwin, said that we can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. And so for me, as a pastor of this house, I believe that this is a place for everyone. We will vote for different people. We will underline different parts of our Bibles. There is a spectrum of theological beliefs that exist in this room, but I want to make it clear specifically that violence, whether it be verbal, social, psychological, or physical, will not be condoned or celebrated from this pulpit. And I have no interest in teaching the Bible in a way that leads to violence against anyone else. Because Jesus took the violence of this world on the cross. And if we are resurrected with Jesus into new life, then let us let violence die in the grave. If our beliefs can lead to hurting others, then our beliefs can also lead to loving others. Let us be a church and congregation. Let us be individuals that follow and believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, in a way that leads to loving others. Amen. Amen. Amen.